Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Taylor.
And we're the hosts of the WIN podcast, a podcast where we speak with inspirational women entrepreneurs, small business owners, leaders, and change makers.
From the challenges of entrepreneurship to social media skills to creating better daily practices and maintaining motivation, we discuss it all. Hi, all. We are back with new episodes after a little bit of a summer vacation. It feels so good to be back, though. So today on the podcast, I spoke with Megan and Dina, focused on supporting the Gen X woman. We talk a lot about having your voice heard as a woman and seeing yourself represented in the brands that you love. You are going to love this episode, so stay tuned and check it out. Hello, and welcome to the WIN podcast. I'm Taylor, and this week I am speaking with Megan Fox and Dina Martins, the co-founders of The Gen X Woman. Megan E. Fox is a co-founder of Gen X Woman. She is a former senior omnichannel leader in the fashion and apparel industry. Megan is passionate about supporting, empowering, and inspiring women with a special focus on Gen X women. She strongly believes they deserve to be recognized and represented by brands. Megan has also been building her personal brand as a 40-plus social media influencer and personal fashion stylist and coach. Using her background in the fashion industry, as well as years of her own style evolution, have led her to help women find their own unique style and gain the confidence to go after what they want. Dina K. Martins is also a co-founder of Gen X Woman. Dina is an ex-corporate executive turned entrepreneur in her 40s. Love it. Her mission is to change the narrative of negative and doom mentality surrounding Generation X women. Dina is also a career transformation coach. Her practice blends her extensive knowledge of astrology and numerology with business methods and tools to help corporate professionals discover their life's purpose and make it their dream job. Incredible. I love these bios. You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. It's always so fun when we were talking a little bit before that we try and put these bios down to about 100 words, but it's really hard to when you talk to such incredible women like yourselves who are just doing really impressive things.
Thank you.
I think as entrepreneurs, you know, you don't really ever just do one thing. You know, you end up being a serial entrepreneur in a lot of ways. A lot of women do. So we start with one thing and then we just add a bunch of other things on top of it.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. So I read your bios. We heard a little bit about you, but we'd love to hear from you a little bit about your background. So Megan, we'll start with you and then we'll go to you, Dina.
Yeah, sure. So like you said, Taylor, I worked in had corporate life for many years, 16 years, I believe. And, you know, had a change, had some transition happen in my corporate life and in my personal life. And just decided that I wanted to do something else and looking to be more fulfilled and wasn't necessarily sure what that was. And Dina and I met at a company that we both worked for. And we said, hey, where's the space for us? You know, where's the fun, you know, for women in their 40s? Where do we go? How do we meet people? We were both still pretty new to Portland area. And we just started talking and we said, you know what, we'll create the space. And here we are.
Love that. And what about you, Dina?
So for me, it's again, corporate life, going through the normal process, go to school, get a job. And I got to the role of vice president, which I kind of wanted to get to, was working mm-hmm. so hard to get to. And when I got there, I was like, is this it? Yeah. It was a big awakening for me because I reached that milestone that I wanted to reach for so long. And I felt empty. But I continued on, right? I worked so hard to get there. You can't just, you know, start over. And it was scary, you know, to do something else. I had entrepreneurship before, you know, I did that. And I had businesses that didn't work. So I always had the call, but it was just so scary and I was comfortable. Yep. And, you know, coming to Portland and really kind of working for a great company and still feeling like, you know, there's something more out there. And so I literally quit my job cold turkey and figured, you know what, I'll just figure it out. And I went on my journey of discovery at 44 years old, which is really scary to do. But again, I feel blessed because I don't have a family or children, you know, so people in that same situation might have different avenues. But for me, it was like, I needed to follow my purpose. That was the big thing. I needed to bring meaning into my life.
Absolutely.
And no, so from incredible. That, yeah. And so from that, you know, my coaching started, you know, I discovered this formula in astrology, numerology, that kind of can pinpoint that. So it was really exciting and started really discovering what I love, because I forgot that. Mm-hmm. So I was just chasing, you know, the next title and, you know, and elevating. And then, you know, like Megan said, we were just talking about, hey, we're not the typical 40-year-old. We're single. We don't have kids. We have great careers and we still want to have fun, and we couldn't find our space. And so from that, you know, Gen X Woman was born, and here we are trying to kind of get it to the next level. It's been evolving through the last year. I mean, we started a business during a pandemic, which is not for the faint of heart.
That is very true. And I love all the things that you both said. And a few things that I'll just touch on that I think are so important for our audience to think about. It's like, you have that goal in mind. You're like, I want to be X title, or I'm going to follow this path, and this is the path I've always dreamed I was going to be on. And then you get to a point where you're like, what am I doing? Am I supposed to be here? Like, what am I supposed to do next? And that's kind of this aha moment for you both, it sounds like, and for a lot of people, where you're just like, I need to figure out what the heck I'm doing. So tell our audience, what is Gen X Woman? What is this business? Let's dive in.
Megan, you want to take that?
See, that's how you know that your business partnership is on the same path, is when right. you both ask at the same time.
We do. We actually, like, you know, take words from each other's mouth. But so Gen X Woman for us was, you know, again, we started with this, we needed a place. Well, let's start with a website. What is that going to look like? And we're looking at ages 35 to 49, you know, it's something that we don't know. We have mm-hmm. never operated outside of the confines of the back end of a corporate career.
Yeah.
And so for us, it was just like, well, let's just put something out there. And we really wanted a place that is classy, that resonates, but that's also a place that's very inspiring. Because when we were looking at the narrative around women in their 40s, you know, women of Generation X, it was all negative online. Mm. If you Google Generation X, all you see is a lot of negativity. We can't sleep. We're tired. We're saddled with debt, you know, and a lot of it is true. It's not untrue, but it's not what defines who we are.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to redefine what it meant to be a Generation X woman by actually showing her accomplishments and providing solutions for her problem, rather than an area of commiseration or just confirmation of all our struggles. So that's kind of how it started in terms of what we wanted to do. But eventually it did evolve. And I'll let Megan add a little bit to that.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't realize in the beginning that our generation, being Gen X, had so much negative press, media. I mean, we never really shook the titles that we were really given when we were younger, being mm-hmm. slackers and those types of things, and latchkey kids. And so for whatever reason, you know, we are the smallest generation, but we actually do have the most entrepreneurs. We have the most buying power. So there's a lot there. And we were like, you know, these women have been, you know, for the most part, generationally pretty quiet about their accomplishments and what they've done. And we were like, there's some really badass women out there that are doing some awesome things. And we were like, we want to showcase that. But also, like Dina said, we wanted to recognize what these women are going through, right? So, you know, initially we said, okay, let's put content out there, but we've kind of honed in a little bit more now on what we really, really want to do. We have mm-hmm. a very beautiful plan of all the things that we would love to do. We've really been focused on building up the community and, you know, really understanding what are some of, you know, what are their needs. So interestingly enough, we've been introduced to the perimenopause and menopause space in health and wellness, which was not part of the plan. But it's been very, very interesting to learn that, you know, this is a topic that hasn't been discussed. I mean, you know, most of our moms didn't tell us what it was, or they probably didn't know either, right? So there's a lot of women now starting these companies that are like, these women need products. Let's have the conversation. Let's talk about it. Let's, you know, and a lot of it is in the Gen X space. And, you know, we're seeing this kind of women rising and using their voices, elevating their voices, coming together, like in a way that we haven't before. So we call it our second coming. And, you know, Dina and I knew we were on to something with this. And it's just, you know, in the past year and a half, it's really starting to elevate and explode. Forbes just did their 50 over 50 for the first time. It's 2021, but you know what? It happened. We're here. So we're seeing these women now in their 50s, at 40s and 50s. They're not planning on retiring. Yep. They're doing their own thing. They're building their own businesses, and they're coming together, you know, and they're elevating and raising each other, right? It's not about competition and who's doing this and who, you know, so it's, we're really seeing this real powerful shift now, and we're very, very excited about it and excited to be part of it. We've met some incredible, incredible women. So
I love that. I think what you both have done in really focusing on this group of women is so, so incredibly important. You know, it's one of those big challenges where different groups of women just get left in the shuffle. Like it's just like, well, move on. I had my mother-in-law say to me the other day, and it was very sad. She was like, my whole life, you know, I would get things because I was young and I was a woman. And then all of a sudden I hit, you know, 40, and all of a sudden nobody looked at me anymore. And I was like, oh, that's like, what an awful thing to realize. And as a society, for us to do to women, once they hit a certain age, it's like, that just doesn't make sense, because we are all thriving and amazing women. And I think the other focus too on real life issues that, you know, women are facing, everyone's going to go through menopause. So we got to talk about it, and it needs to be made okay to talk about, because we're all going to go through it, and we all need to be there for each other.
Yeah. And I think what you said about your mother-in-law, I mean, the invisibility syndrome is a real thing.
Yeah.
And kind of, we didn't even know about that, you know, like as Megan and I, as we're going through this process, we're learning so much about, you know, what women in our generation go through, and maybe what we go through, but we don't notice.
Yeah.
And so invisibility syndrome was one that it just, I mean, there are books written about mm-hmm. it. I think there was Frankie and Grace, that show that's talking about that one moment where she was ignored by a store clerk, yes. like as if she was invisible. So that's, I think that's just basically what it says about our society and how we look at women as they age.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we need to change. And the beauty of it is, even though our generation was silent before, and the generation before us of women really didn't address this part, I think millennial women and Gen Z women are not going to allow this to happen to them, which is what we love as well. I think as we're looking at what we're doing with our generation, some of it is inspired from what the women from other generations are doing, either before us or after us.
Yeah.
And I think the demand for respect mm-hmm. that millennial women ask for is definitely something inspiring. Hear us, see us, respect us. We're here. We're not going away. And we're going to hold you accountable. And I think before, we didn't hold brands accountable.
Mm.
We're just busy and running around like, okay, whatever, you know, it's just part of life. And we are busy, you know, like if you see like the typical Gen X woman that's taking care of her kids and her parents, that holds a full-time job, you know, it's a lot. And yeah. So holding brands accountable for that has just been on the back burner, but now we're seeing mm-hmm. more and more of that happening. And so, yes, I mean, there are a lot of things that were just not considered important because women didn't raise their voice.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I think it's really interesting that you ended up starting this during a pandemic, because 2020 was a really interesting year when it came to what you were just saying, holding brands accountable. It was like this big awakening where everybody had all this time on their hands now, where you could really dig in and look at everything that was going on in the world. And you're like, that doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about what it was like starting this during the pandemic. How did that influence the company as a whole?
I think for us, we weren't even thinking. It just felt like, hey, we needed to, it was an idea that needed to be out there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they say there's no powerful, there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. Mm. And we really felt pushed to get it done. We didn't know how we're going to monetize. Like, these things didn't even come to mind. Like, how are we going to make money doing that? Or, I mean, we knew we wanted to grow it into a business and monetize it eventually. But when we initially started, it was just like, let's put this out there. I don't want to see all this negativity. I really want us to rank out there. So when somebody looks at Gen X women, they see some positive stuff. So yeah. So, I mean, again, for us, the pandemic was almost like a non-issue in a way, because we started talking about this end of 2019 and we just forged on.
Yeah,
we didn't even have the conversation around the pandemic. We were just like, let's go. It was almost, you know, we felt like it was a calling. And like Dina said, we weren't really sure what it was going to look like. We've tried things, we've pivoted, you know, we've had to make sure to do that so that we kind of understand, because there's also, you know, not a lot of data in some cases to build some of the foundations around what does this look like. So, and, you know, I think getting, I know you've, you know, as far as like what we've learned or what our challenges have been, it's like, you don't have to do what everyone else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we've actually laid out something that no one else is really doing. Right. And maybe bits and pieces of it, but we have a larger plan of, you know, this is what we want this to look like. And I think one of the biggest learnings for me has been, and it's been a hard one, is you don't have to just copy or look at what someone else is doing and if they've been successful and do the same thing. But Dina always says, like, if we knew all the things we knew now, we probably wouldn't have done it.
We would not have started anything. It's good that we started from a place of ignorance. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Learn the lesson. I think that will resonate with a lot of people. I know that resonates very strongly with me. Yes, 100%. So you have this, I want to ask you about the plan for the business. I also want to ask you, what does the community look like right now? So how does one interact with your business? What are the streams? And then I'll ask you after what, you know, what's the future?
So right now for us, even from a community standpoint, it's more about gathering data.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have like a Facebook where we are interacting with people, we're talking with people. It's more about putting stuff out there on social media and trying to gauge the appetite of people for this type of information before we go and truly build that community. Because when we started, we had no idea what the community looks like. Initially, we were like, well, we want women like us, you know? But as we're talking to more women, it's like, even though, you know, we don't have the children, we have a lot of shared experiences. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to exclude women with children from our, you know, from our community, even though initially we were like, well, we just want women like us. And so it's now just evolving and we're learning. I mean, the menopause thing has just been such an awakening, educational experience for us. It's a word that we just never said and we never wanted to say. and so now it's just, we're meeting with all these women and we're talking and we're like, this is huge.
Yeah.
Is this something that our community would want to actually talk about? And so we're really just testing so many things in terms of building that community for right now, but it is part of the larger plan to have a more interactive community.
Yeah. Love that. So you've talked a lot about what the future looks like. I'd love to hear kind of like blue sky vision. Where is this going? What do you want to see this look like?
So Megan said this was a calling, right? So I just want to give you an idea, like the name Gen X Woman came in a dream. It was not thought out. We didn't, you know, we went through the proper, you know, corporate way of choosing a name. None of that happened. We were going for months trying to figure out what is the right name for us. What is this? Where was that? And literally Gen X Woman came to me at 3 a.m. and it says, that's the word. And because I'm very much into numerology, it needed to fit a certain pattern. Mm-hmm. And that name actually was perfect. So just so you understand that calling, that idea. And so we truly believe that our time has come and is about to like get even bigger.
Yeah.
And there's a timeline in numerology, feng shui, that actually confirms that, which we won't even talk about this because it's part of a big marketing campaign. So we don't want to talk too much about that.
Sure.
But our time as women, as middle-aged women, mm-hmm. the portal of that time is opening and it's only going to get bigger. So we're just mm-hmm. feeling it right now. And so the grand vision for us is to really have that woman represented, support that woman in every single facet to the public. So whether it's marketing, whether it's through content, whether working with the woman herself through the community, through the upliftment, or working through with brands, which need a lot of education in terms of how to represent us, because we feel unrepresented. And I think our voice is getting louder and louder right now. And we're voting more with our wallet. They don't know that yet. Mm. And I think a lot of brands are going to be reactive later on when they start losing people, because we want to start a movement. So we're talking about the business and we're talking about how we're going to monetize it. We have the business plan for that. But for us, it's more than that. It's the movement. It's the calling. It's making sure that Gen X women find their place and their voice in society. And how to do that is through representation. Because mm-hmm. right now we're just not represented. And I'll let Megan add to that as well.
That was perfectly said. I mean, there are multiple components to the plan that we've laid out in order to support this woman, this Gen X woman. And also, like Dina said, to get the brand side of them involved, right? When I buy something, I see I don't see myself. I see a 25-year-old wearing it. And I'm a personal stylist, so I'm very much into fashion. I don't know what I thought I was going to look like in my 40s, but it's not the classic frumpy, dumpy, you know, whatever that is. Like, and hey, there's nothing wrong with that if that's your thing, but I want to look great, and I want clothes to be tailored to my body as it's changing, as I'm getting older. That's also very important. You know, your body's doing different things, and you know, you've got to shift your things in a different way, or, you know, really look at your style and say, okay, this is what's appropriate for me now, or this is what I'm comfortable in. And we deserve to have that. And right now it's just, you can't even find it. So it's so, so important. And we've met so many women that are, you know, starting this movement and joining the movement and just being very open about a lot of different things, even though it's a lot in the menopause space. They've been very open about, just like what I said, their fashion, the style. We interviewed Stacey London, and she was like, hey, I have a little, you know, belly now, and that's a change for me. My body's changing. And, you know, so there's so many different facets that we want to be represented, and we want to feel like we're included, right? Yeah. I mean, we should be, and we're doing incredible things at this second stage of our lives. We're just getting started. I mean, this is not something where you hit 40 and you start declining. Like that's just something that the media and our culture has typically, you know, just like, okay, well, you hit this point in time. And it's also tied into reproductive components of your body as well. But women are having children at, you know, older ages now, and especially our generation was really the first generation. Like, I have friends that have kids that are in their 20s. I have friends that are kids that are, you know, 10, 8, 7. So we've done things in a different way, and we haven't followed that specific path. So this woman has a lot of different types of needs, and she's everywhere. Yeah. So that's the other component to it. It's not super straightforward. But it's absolutely worth it in our eyes, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. I think it is so important. The work that you're doing, I think is absolutely vital. And I've been seeing more and more of this on social media, where a lot of women over the age of 30, over the age of 40 are saying, like, I'm not being represented here. I'm not seeing myself on social media. Like you were saying, I'm not seeing myself in those clothes or on that packaging or on that, you know, whatever. So I think that is so important because representation is so important in making individuals feel like they are a part of it. Like they are able to be, like they're not being pushed aside by society. So I think that's incredibly important. And we're about to shift gears a little bit right now. We just talked about your business, which is awesome. And I love that your business actually is kind of aligned with the second part of our questions. We like to focus on the whole woman. We want to know everything about you. You know, you're not just your business. You're not just your, you know, your family or your whatever. You're you. So we're going to shift into that a little bit. So I'd love to hear from each one of you. What do you do in your life for self-care, for balance, that is just for you?
So it's a great question because when you love what you do, you actually forget that you're working. And I think we had a moment a few months ago where we were exhausted, but I didn't want to stop because I didn't feel like I was working. I mean, putting a post in social media was never work. So it's that mindset change that we have. It's like, we don't have just like, oh, well, on the weekend, I'm going to unplug, right? I'm going to shut down. Or on vacation, I'm going to shut down. I don't want to shut down, actually. I love what I do. And so I think finding the balance as women entrepreneur to just take a step back and breathe. Mm-hmm. And so last week we just basically decided, I mean, Megan was traveling and, you know, I was tired. And we just decided we're gonna just stop working for a week.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, we're gonna do a couple of things here and there, we didn't really stop. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me.
It was a light, we decided together, like, we need a lighter week. I wasn't gonna be super available. So, and I was just real honest about that. I think the two of us, what we've done well together, now that we're outside of the kind of corporate mindset where you have to push and you feel like you can't take a sick day, we'll check in with each other and say, you know what, I'm really not feeling good this week. I have a headache, I have my period, or like, I just need to take a couple hours and go run some errands or go for a walk. Yeah. Not that we're not like that detailed with each other, but we have conversations about this and we say, you know what, health first. And we can do that because we are in a position where we are in control of that, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it's really made me realize how much I really sacrificed health-wise when I was working in corporate, of course, by choice somewhat, but you're in a different environment. I'm not saying corporate's bad. I didn't do myself a lot of favors either, but started focusing more on my health. And I've actually found some things this year, as I'm getting 8 hours of sleep for the first time in, you know, ever, but it's uncovered some other things that I'm working on and focusing on holistically. And I think, you know, we make sure that we check in with each other and, you know, not that we have to give each other permission. I think it's about giving yourself permission.
Yeah.
I do agree with Dina though, when you are doing something you love, you don't feel like you're working, but you do have to do the check-ins to make sure, like, do I need to take a nap? Do I need to take a break? You know what I mean? Like, I go for walks almost every day and I listen to a podcast and that's my time to chill for me, but then I'll come back and have dinner and I'll work until like 10 or 11, right? We're both night owls, but we can do that. You know, you set your own schedule, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
I think the found freedom, which we didn't realize how imprisoned we are or we were before until we kind of like shackled ourselves out of there. I'm like, oh, I don't have to sit on a desk. I don't have to work from a not like specified timing. It's literally like you were in prison for so long and you came out and you don't know what to do with yourself. And then you try to adapt the same prison timelines in your personal life. And it just, and then you get like that moment of realization. It's like, oh, I don't have to do that.
Yeah. And it's still happening, at least for me personally. Like, I still have to be like, oh, I don't have to work from 9 to 5 or whatever the hours are, right?
Yes. Yep.
I still don't necessarily run errands during the day all the time because I'm like, this feels weird. It's almost like you have to remind yourself, like, you can do what you want as long as, you know, obviously other things are getting done, but it really takes time. You're deprogramming essentially.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely. Yes. I mean, that mindset.
I think that's the word. Huge. Yeah. Yes. it's literally deprogramming. So as you're going through this journey of entrepreneurship, which is not easy, right? There's the uncertainty about your money. There's uncertainty about whether the business, are you wasting your time? And we feel like idiots all the time because we don't know this business and we're learning everything from scratch. So like there's a lot of things, you know, the hit to the ego is huge, but it's just, but we would not, I personally would say I will not have it any other way.
Yeah.
I can't, like, and this is what I tell Megan, I can never go back.
Yes.
Once you find that freedom, like it's like, you can't go back. And so 100%. We're like working to just like, we got to make it work regardless of however it looks. It doesn't have to look the way it is right now, but we got to make this thing work because we're not going back.
Yeah.
But just to answer your question, like on self-care, the biggest one for me was being able to have breakfast in the morning and not start until like 10:30, 11.
Love that.
Because I'm just not a morning person. I was forcing myself to be somebody that I'm not. And it was just having, you know, a toll on my health, on my mental health specifically. I had a lot of anxiety and things like that, that just kind of almost like went away. Yeah. And so that, I think little things, and as entrepreneurs, it doesn't have to be going to a spa or a massage all the time. Although that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to say no to that.
No. Acupuncture, you know, we get all that good stuff. But really these little changes of just honoring your circadian rhythm. That's all, you know, just, hey, I want to get up a little bit later and have my breakfast, you know, before I start. So it's really simple stuff.
I love that. And I love what both of you said about checking in. I mean, it could be as simple as I'm sitting in front of my computer all day. Like, you know, I just all of a sudden I'm on a roll working on something. And then I'm like, geez, I am so tired. And I'm like, Taylor, just walk away, go get a snack, go for a walk, go do something. You have control to walk away. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. Now I can go back to work. But you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in this drudge. I just need to keep going. But you don't have to. You are in control of yourself and your time. And when I love to do kind of mappings of what does my ideal day look like? It's like you get to be in charge of that. And that's really fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now we're going to do the lightning round, quote unquote. So I am going to ask you each a question and I'll just have an answer from each one of you. So your favorite nonfiction book, podcast, community, or research? Megan, we'll start with you.
Oh boy. I would say, you know, for me, podcasts are a big one. So I find a lot of inspiration from other female entrepreneurs. The Superwoman podcast by Rebecca Minkoff is good. Also Gen X Woman. And I like Women of Impact with Lisa Bilyeu as well. So I usually listen to those when I'm doing my daily walk.
Love it. Dina?
So for me, I would say, I will talk about books because I read a lot. And I don't know if it's my favorite book, but it's a book that changed my life. And it's called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And that's the first book where I realized that I'm not my thoughts and that I can actually free myself from my own thoughts. So yeah.
Love that. All right. Next one. Favorite just for fun media. So we'll start with you, Dina, this time.
Media. You're talking social media or just overall?
Whatever just for fun media means to you. We've had some people say TikTok. We've had some people say, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I like YouTube. I think it's education is fun for me. So I'm always just like absorbing information. So YouTube for me.
Love that.
I am an Instagram girl. I've actually, during the pandemic, it's opened up and not being in a corporate setting. I've really met a lot of people. I mean, Taylor, that's how we met.
Yep.
I've met so many people. I didn't have time to do this before. And now it's part of my job and it's amazing. And I get to meet all these women at the same time that I'm quote unquote working, and I'm finding the platform to be, you know, I surround myself with positive, inspiring people. I don't read the yucky stuff. I don't follow people like that. So for me, I find it to be a good space for me from a visual perspective too.
Love that. Love it. Your favorite way to spend a Sunday? Megan, we'll start with you.
Well, Sunday for me is my Sunday fun day is my family and friends day. So I'm on the West Coast now, but a lot of my friends and family are on the East Coast. So I spend time on Sunday talking to my mom, my stepmom, my brother. So that's usually how I don't really structure my weekends because I kind of want to see like what's going to happen. What do I want to do? I mean, I have the freedom to do that, which is awesome, but yeah, it's really my family day. And then I'll go for a walk, maybe do a little bit of work. And you know, the day is pretty much over then, but it's great. I get my fill of, you know, connecting with my friends and family, which is very important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Dina?
For me, it's to do nothing. Literally nothing. So I wake up with absolutely no plan. I usually never ever put anything for a Sunday, and I just let the day roll. You know, if it's nice day and it's sunny, it's going out with my dog, you know, walking around, you know, maybe going and having a lunch outside somewhere. And if it's a rainy day, which we have a lot of those in Portland, and I actually love a good rainy day, it's just sit in front of the TV or reading a book and just nothing.
sounds so excellent. I love that. Yeah. All right. Your go-to drink, it could be alcoholic or non-alcoholic, whatever you choose. And Dina, we'll start with you.
My go-to drink. I love a good Aperol spritz. I'm trying not to drink as much, but a good Aperol spritz is my favorite.
So fun.
And mine is, I love green tea matcha lattes. I usually make my own, so they're not extremely calorie laden, but I like kombucha. I mean, I'm always trying new drinks that are good for your health wise without sugar.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
but
great.
I do love a good glass of champagne.
I mean, can't say no to that. And the last question for you guys, best piece of advice you've ever received or heard? So Megan, we'll start with you.
Received or heard? I mean, really the basic is just be yourself, trust yourself. I think I've been in situations where I couldn't be myself and that was didn't work for me, right? Mm-hmm. It was uncomfortable. And when you build up your confidence and you believe in yourself, you trust yourself and you don't have to, you know, analyze everything to death. And I mean, of course I'm still working on it, but I think that's pretty much it for me.
Love that. Dina?
For me, it's don't take yourself too seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Life is actually meant to be fun, not hard. We make it hard. And I actually heard that through one of the YouTube talks by Alan Watts. That's where I get my advice as well. It's from YouTube, between Alan Watts and Eckhart Tolle. But yeah, so that for me is don't take yourself so seriously is big. I'm a Virgo. I like to plan. I worry, you know, so it's about surrendering and trusting the process and letting it go.
Love that. Those are both pieces of advice are very, very good. I will take those away with me today. So I know that our audience loved hearing all about the work that you guys are doing and wants to see where this is going to go. So where can they follow your journey? Website, Instagram, YouTube, etc. Give me all your things.
Yes. Yeah, so all the things, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest at Gen X Woman, GenXWoman. And our website is igenxwoman.com. So that's where you can see all of our blog posts, our interviews and such, and the content that we're writing.
Love it. Perfect. Excellent. Well, I will go ahead and link all of that in the show notes so everyone can follow along, go and follow their Instagram, check out their website. But thank you, Dina, Megan, so much for joining me today. It was such a pleasure to hear the work that you are doing, the ability to raise the voices of these women, I think is so, so, so incredibly important. And I know that the women who are listening feel the same way. So thank you again for joining me.
Thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you're doing to highlight women and all their contributions to society. It's so important that people like you exist so that we have these platforms. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. Thank you guys so much. And we will see you in the next one. Have a great one. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Win Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at thewin_co and on our website, experiencewin.com. If you have questions, answers, or recommendations to share, email us at experiencewin@gmail.com. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, basically wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And if you liked the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way to share these incredible stories.